Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Girl Talk. Oh no, wrong podcast. Yeah. It's Flame On!
Hey!
Yay! That's the one!
We are back with another...
That was weird.
Another half cast.
With another skeletal remain of cast members.
Oh, it's another cast episode where it's me, Pat, you're talking Bearskin Rug, and I'm joined by BJ.
Hey, what's up?
And Eric.
Hi!
Dramatic pause.
Pause for effect. Pause for effect. It's me. Anywho, we are back to talk about pop culture and whatever gets our motor running.
Get your motor running.
I mean,
head out on the highway.
No.
At least you got where I was going with it. No. Thank you. It is the month of November. It is almost Thanksgiving here in the United States. If you're outside of the States, then happy fourth week of November.
Thanksgiving. Oh, how about Thanksgiving? Oh!
We didn't really death drop y'all.
Theater of the mind. They believe you did. They didn't hear Eric or you go, ow! So they knew you did not do it.
Or we knocked ourselves out.
Oh. Next time you death drop, how about you reverse that and drop dead?
Oh, so mean.
That was my favorite Adora read during season 6. Anywho, back to pop culture. We are going to take this a little bit differently. Normally we do sections and kind of discuss things.
Very uniform.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be a little weird this time around and a little funky and odd. And we are going to go around and throw out a topic, and we're going to chat on it for a little bit. So I will throw out the most prevalent news story that has come up in the last week or so, and that is the passing of Stan Lee. He passed away at the age of 95.
Wow.
Like, we knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
Well, yeah. I think it's been almost an exact year since his wife, when did his wife pass away? Is it 2 years ago?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think it was either 2 years ago, but it was like almost to the anniversary.
Wow.
And when you have an older couple like that.
Usually the male does not live that much longer.
Doesn't even last a year.
Yeah, once the wife passes away. So, I mean, he was still kicking and good for him. You know, it's definitely a blow to the comics industry. I know that there's a lot of stories. Majority of what we've seen are positive, which is great. You like to see that somebody that has that much of an impact in the industry has so many people that he's affected in a positive way. And I know that there is some, you know, kind of shady underbelly to the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as far as being able to give people the credit for some of their creations and taking a little bit of ownership where you're not really should be taking the ownership.
Yeah.
But I think that, speaking in general terms, he was an amazing impact and definitely somebody that was revered and respected within the community.
A friend of mine put it really well, is that his kind of send off for Stan Lee was, you know, Stan Lee has always had kind of, there's always been a history of like where credit's due and stuff like that. However, he has always advocated for creativity and the imagination and giving forth to the world, that those sort of things. So it's just one of those things where he just, even though there is like all that background stuff that happened, which happens with any business, with any industry, he still put forth a lot of positivity and stuff with comic books, and he always celebrated it. He never like ever got, and he never seemed like he got tired of it.
Yeah, and I mean, he was the face of Marvel, and in a lot of cases, just comics in general.
Yeah,
you know, even if you weren't a devout comic reader, you knew who Stan Lee was, and especially at the height and the heyday in the 90s when, you know, his face is plastered on everything from Pizza Hut to...
Oh my God, he had a reality show. I just forgot about that.
Which, yeah. one of our friends was on that show.
Dan Williams.
Yes.
Oh man.
Did he win?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. But he was up there though.
Yeah.
As that's where he was able to be the gay superhero Parthenon.
Yes, that was the one.
Oh. Yeah.
And he posted a loving little tribute and the picture of him on the red carpet at the premiere of Who Wants to Be a Superhero, I think was the name of the show.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's really awesome. That, like, you know, kind of 6 degrees of separation.
Wow.
For us here. But on a positive note to it, he did film cameos for a couple of more Marvel movies.
Yep.
Including Avengers 4, whatever that's going to be titled. And I think Spider-Man and Captain Marvel, and there might be one more that I'm not remembering.
I think so.
But I want to say it was like four more upcoming Marvel films that he has done cameos for already. So we'll have that legacy. And you know it's going to be sad as fuck when the cameos appear in the film and it's going to be like, there's Stan. But, you know.
It's going to be even harder when we get to that first movie that doesn't have his cameo in it.
So there's apparently like some sort of fan outcry that since Stan Lee can no longer do the cameos, that they should have Deadpool do them, since now Fox is kind of owned by Disney and everything.
What I would like to see is, I mean, that'd be cute.
Maybe
I can understand it. I want to see like a picture. Like, you can have an image of Stan. Stan that doesn't necessarily need to be there, but like have them walk by a wall, like, you know, of CEOs of the company or whatever, and have Stan Lee's picture up on the wall.
That's what they did with Harold Ramis and the most recent Ghostbusters movie. He was a professor at the university that one of the characters was teaching at, and there was just a bust of him in this hallway of like the remembered professors, and it was just a nice little nod. That would actually be really cute. I would really like that a lot.
I would like to see them start to come up with different ways, like do a bust, do a portrait or something, and give it kind of almost a creative like contest in a way of like, what can we do to make this, like, you know, this remembrance of Stan or have some sort of thing there.
Or if there, like, even just the scene where he's like, where somebody's like going through like a ledger and Stan Lee's name and like original address is there.
Yeah.
Like, just flipping through.
Oh, for sure. Like there could be a whole bunch of different ways that you could do it. And I think that would be awesome to honor his legacy and all of the cameos that he has done. So, our next topic, BJ, I'm going to have you throw one out, and let's talk about it.
Are you ready for this?
No.
I mean, are you ready?
I don't think I'm ready for the jelly.
Apparently, the lawsuit against Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is not slowing anything down, because December 14th, we get a holiday special. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Midwinter's Tale.
That was very interesting that they threw in another episode there.
Yeah.
Which is cool, though.
Which I think takes place after the finale.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's all under wraps. They just announced it. They haven't even released a trailer or anything for it. But it drops December 14th, and it's apparently the Church of the Knights, their version of Christmas. So hopefully slightly less cannibalism. Probably cannibalism. So
they probably won't have the infamous statue in this at all.
They haven't. I do know in the lawsuit they mentioned that it's not actually the Satanic Church. It's like the Satanic Temple. It's like a different group, because the Satanic Church is like, no, we're not suing them. However.
Well, because it's not their copyright.
Exactly.
And that was the... I saw, BJ, you did post that on the Flame On page. So if you guys have not seen that or you're not sure what we're talking about, you can always pop over to facebook.com/flameon and just scroll down a little bit and you'll see the article or the link that BJ is referencing. And it the Church of Satan or the Satanic Church kind of called them out and has called out the Satanic Temple for these like ridiculous publicity stunts.
Yeah.
So, and I was reading through like they've sent cum rags to Congress, you know, Congress members, mm-hmm. and like it's kind of like, just ridiculous stuff.
That's the version of the Satanic Church that like Christian people think it is. There's one that's like, no, we're just a normal church, and so, then there's the one that's like,
so it's the Westboro Satanic Temple,
pretty much.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
The Satanic Church is that the Satanic Temple were the ones that commissioned that particular statue of Baphomet. And I don't know if I'm saying it right or not.
No, you're
saying
it right.
I never know if I'm saying it right. But that was what it, like, they were the ones who had commissioned it. So it is not, it's them suing, not the Satanic Church. And that it was probably based kind of off of the original plaster casting before they did the bronze casting. So we'll see how that turns out. I don't think it's going to really mean much for Netflix, to be honest. If anything, they'll have to pay out some money just because if it is copyrighted.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I don't think the Satanic Temple will get as much as they want, though.
No. And I remember the article is just like, wait, can't you? Like, a lot of people were looking at me when I mentioned the article, and they were just like, wait, you can't copyright a religious symbol, though. And I'm like, yeah, I think it was like there's commission the work done. It was just super weird.
Yeah, so it'll just end up probably being like some quote unquote damages for using the image
for not asking for permission or something.
Yeah,
like that.
As a commissioned image versus, you know, it being a for the actual like deity image.
Nope.
So we're looking forward to more Sabrina. I know that when we did our last episode, so the one right before this in the feed, we talked about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. So if you want to hear some of our thoughts on that show, go back one episode in the feed and check it out. Eric, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to wish Ms. Mother RuPaul a happy
Mama
birthday.
Ru!
Happy belated birthday, as this is the day after the anniversary of his, her, they birth. And
I told you, Mama Ru does not use pronouns. Mama Ru is always referred to in the third person, even when speaking directly to Mama Ru. It's either Mama Ru or RuPaul.
Mama Ru.
And that's it.
Well, my apologies to...
It's too late to RuPologize. It's too late. Sorry.
But in honor of RuPaul's birth, there was a show came out last week, 2 weeks ago on Netflix, involving a lot of alum from...
Yeah, I think it was probably about two-ish weeks or so.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks in.
Yeah, for Super Drags.
Which I was super confused about what it was at first. And then when I started playing the first episode and the credits were in Portuguese...
Yeah.
I thought I hit the wrong, like, one. Like,
you had to go through the settings and be like...
And then I was excited for the show based on the voiceover cast.
Yes. Which includes who?
Willem, Trixie Mattel, Shangela, and...
Ginger,
and then I don't know who plays the blue...
It's a voiceover actor. He is not a Drag Race person, or I think a drag queen at all. I looked him up, and he's done other work, but he's not a queen.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be a queen.
Right. And I thought the character designs were...
The animation's gorgeous. Like, I think the animation, I really like the animation.
I just really did not know, and they certainly do not advertise this anywhere, that this is a foreign made cartoon.
Yeah, it's
Brazil.
It's a Brazilian web series.
That then they dubbed into English. Not a direct dub, though, because I think the closed captioning is for the original translation.
Yes.
Because I tend to watch Netflix with closed captioning on because I'm multitasking when I watch Netflix. So it helps to just, oh, okay, that's what they're saying. And the closed captioning did not match at all what was being said.
Yeah.
I mean, it had the general idea, but no. Well, which made it even harder to watch than it already is.
Well, when I watch anime and stuff, I always have it on Japanese, and it's subtitled.
Yeah,
it's just how the way I like to watch it. So when I first started watching this, it was in Portuguese and subtitled, and I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, let me. I'm because in my head, I'm like, oh, well, I want to hear like the Drag Race gang do it, and I didn't even make it 5 minutes. I think it was the condom force field. I was like. I could kind of get with this, and then I was done.
It seems to be very polarizing within the community as to the value of this show. I do like that we are getting content that is drag queens, that is LGBT, that is stuff that's made for us. But at the same time, I personally, and this is my opinion, it is not reflective of the Nerdy Show Network or any other organization.
Oh, boy. Here's the wind-up.
Well, no, because we do know a lot of these people. Like, we're good friends with Ginger Minj.
Yes.
We'll put that out there. If you've listened to Flame On at any point in time, you've seen the 47 episodes she's been on. She's our honorary, like, you know, sixth, seventh, whatever cast member of the show. I love Trixie Mattel to death. Willem is awesome. Shangela is amazing. And you can give her anything to say, no matter how like ridiculous you think that the show is.
And she'll probably have a crowd after this holiday special coming up.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about that. That'll be part of your B, I'm sure. Everything that she said was phenomenal. It was really, really tough to watch. The Sailor Moon like transformations made me cry a little bit on the inside because I'm like, now you're tarnishing my memory of Sailor Moon. Although I do love the credits, I haven't finished watching all 5 episodes that are only like 20 some odd minutes a piece, and I still haven't gone through all 5 of them. I want to see their like quote unquote Zords. Because Ginger's character,
I hear it's the last episode.
That's you have to get through it to get to the animals. But I just love that Ginger's character, whose name in, as a boy is Patrick, and as a drag queen is Lemon.
Yeah,
because it's Lemon, Scarlet, and then the guy that's not a drag queen,
Blueberry.
Sounds like a cereal.
But Ginger's character gets to have a giant bear with a harness on it.
Nice.
I love it. I love that. There were some great lines. Honestly, there in the episodes I've watched, there have been some great lines. Trixie's character, Champagne, when she's like, I have nothing to give you but silence and side eye. And then the animation turns and just, you know, the side eye was like, that's classic. Like, that's golden. Shangela's lines are delivered flawlessly. It's just really tough because there are some things that, and I hate the word problematic, and I'm not going to use it to describe this, but there are some
problematic,
questionable things that happen through it. There are some really good topics. It touches on conversion therapy. It touches on, I don't want to say catfishing, but this whole like filters and altering your pictures for your dating apps and all of these kinds of things that, like, you know, there are really good topics that are buried in there. There are just some really questionable things that happen around it that make it tough to get through. And I've seen a lot of people on my Facebook feed that are like, oh, my God, this is hysterical and I love it. And then there's some that are like, the fuck is this shit? Oh, I'm sorry. I think the fuck not is basically what they're saying.
Because there is a way to do raunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and do raunch and be intelligent about it and actually come out and say something and still be raunchy as fuck.
Which most of the queens that are involved with this that we know from Drag Race have that ability and do that in a lot of their acts and their shows.
Yes. And I certainly enjoy that type of material. This just didn't feel overly smart.
It didn't feel that thought through.
And I don't know if it's mostly they're actually hindered by just trying to redub over an existing animation.
Yeah. I feel like that's some of it.
It limits the way they can tell these storylines. And so they're just trying to go for the biggest bang for the buck.
That is just a matter of the fact that they don't really, they probably don't have anybody that's been involved with like a dubbing company like Funimation or something like that that does that all the time. Like, I'm blown away at, like, Dragon Ball Super has some of the funniest catty lines I've ever heard in an anime, and I'm like, how did they fit that in there?
I feel like they listened to the DBZ abridged guys.
Honestly, I mean, the material's there. But it's just one of those things where it's like, maybe they just didn't have the resource to kind of help them figure out how to put the, to maximize the time for each line. Because it's a challenge. I've seen a couple different documentaries on dubbing stuff, and so that I really think that is actually a good chunk of it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But that's out on Netflix as well. Watch it. Don't watch it. I mean, it's great to have LGBT content.
Yes.
So at least go check it out. Make the opinion for yourself. I always find it hard when, you know, you always see, like I said, it's very divisive on whether or not it's liked by the community.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it. At least then they see the views that there's some, that there is a market there. Whether or not you watch all five episodes, up to you. But at least support it from that. So that was your A. What's your B? I think you already hinted a little bit at B.
My B is RuPaul's Drag Race Holiday Special.
Holla-slay.
One night only. We are the dream girls.
We're your dream girls.
Okay, sorry. All right. We are going to eventually go over like the thresholds and have to pay for rights to music.
As long as we keep changing songs, it resets each time.
So yes, One Night Only Holla-slay special.
A.K.A. the reason to give Shangela a crown.
I'm surprised that Shangela and Trixie are involved with this. Because of, honestly, I feel like it was at the end of AS3 and it was like whoever was in town and this is what they got.
Yeah. So like there, I was going to say there, I know there's a episode of coming out where Trixie and Katya are going to talk about some about the Christmas special and All Stars 4. So I don't know if that's going to be something like, I feel like if you watch enough specials and online interviews, you could kind of piece together the whole story.
That's quite possible.
Some sort of drag queen Sherlock.
That's called Reddit. So for this special, we have 8 returning queens who are competing in this one episode special. That's going to be a lot of kind of like the final 4 episode of the regular season, where Todrick is going to be coaching them through like production numbers, and they're going to have like, it's going to kind of be that type of setup versus a regular season where there's multiple episodes and you can do one challenge and then eliminate somebody. Do you have your list of contestants, Eric?
I do.
Yay.
And this is pulled from the article on EW.com. And I just find it interesting the way they refer to some of the contestants when they list them. They go, that will pit former contestants Eureka O'Hara.
Just Eureka. Thank you.
Jasmine Masters. A Star is Born actor, Shangela. Kim Chi. Latrice Royale. Mayhem Miller. Sonique. And All Stars 3 champion, Trixie Mattel. So I just find it funny that everyone has just their name except for Trixie, because she just won. And then Shangela.
Well, I mean, she's in one of the biggest movies out right now, so...
Yeah.
And it's Entertainment Weekly. I mean, if they didn't kind of give a nod to the fact that she was in A Star is Born.
But, I mean, they could have just said, 3-time contestant.
Well, I think...
3-time also ran.
I think being in A Star is Born is a little bit more of a prop to her than, this could be the 3rd time that she loses this shit. Actually, no, the 4th time she loses this shit. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
No, that's definitely, it's a very interesting mix of contestants.
Yeah, it's like, okay, who just finished All Stars 3? Oh, who's going to be on All Stars 4?
And Mayhem.
And Sonique.
Oh, I am so happy to see Sonique back on television.
Yes.
Because since she transitioned after her season, and she was the first contestant that publicly talked about it on the show. And we've talked about it before. We had an entire interview episode back in the feed where she talked about the fact that she was very open and honest about it during the taping of the show, which is why if you go back and watch season two, there's not a lot of footage of her, is because they did not want to air that storyline during the actual show. And they did it as this whole big thing that, like, yeah, that she came out as trans on the reunion, where that was known and talked about by everybody beforehand. There was the whole, I want to say, hullabaloo. I want to say, rabid fan base. There was a whole outcry about comments made by RuPaul that if somebody is a trans contestant and has had body modifications, that she wouldn't want her on the show. And I just used she. I'm sorry. That RuPaul would not want
so
them on the show. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mama Ru. Please forgive me. So to see Gia Gunn be named for All-Stars 4 and to see Sonique for this Hollislay special, it's really cool to kind of see these contestants that have taken their transition to that next step or taken it further to be able to come back and be a part of the show again. And we haven't seen much of what Sonique can do in the 4 episodes she was on the show, and being friends with her former manager, working with her Parliament House, that bitch can throw the fuck down. So I'm glad that she's going to have a chance to be at least part of this special.
Yeah.
Which might open the door for maybe an AS5 or AS6 return to actually be able to showcase what she has done with herself since being on season 2. So it's wonky considering some of the other contestants that are on here, but I'm super excited to see her kind of kill it on this.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Yeah. Which kind of, you mentioned the words All-Stars 4.
I segued into your B2.
Exactly. Because
Vitamin B2?
Also, yes. We got the announcement trailer for All-Stars 4.
Yeah, some of them look sick, Nay.
Right?
Which, do we need All-Stars 4 right now?
Oh, dear God, no.
No.
I need a break from All-Stars. We're going to run out of All-Stars. Apparently, we already have because we're bringing back ones from All-Stars 1.
I mean, All-Stars 1
was a hot
mess.
We haven't seen Sarita Cha-Cha yet. So...
speaking of that, I'm just gonna chime in right quick. If you didn't know already, Willem put out a new album called Now That's What I Call Drag Music Volume 1.
Yeah.
First off, I think it actually has one original song called Hoops, which is phenomenal. The bigger the hoop, the bigger the home.
Is that the video with all the dicks?
Yes. That is the video that is dick filled. Oh, it was released on her Patreon, yeah. And you can watch it on Vimeo, because you cannot watch it on YouTube, because there's too many penises. She plays ring toss with one of the guy's dicks. It's fantastic.
Is Boomer Banks in it? I feel like Boomer Banks would be in it. He's been in one of her videos before.
I don't think he is, to be honest. I never really get past their waist, so I'm not quite sure who's in the video. I'm kidding. All the guys are super fucking hot in the video. Which, it's a Willem video with his dicks. Of course, there's going to be hot men in it. There's Hoops. There's Drugs, which is, I'm not a drug user, but dear God, I find myself singing that just randomly throughout my day. It's a parody of, or it uses the song structure and the music from For You by Rita Ora and Liam Payne. It was from the 50 Shades Freed soundtrack.
Okay.
And I went back and listened to it because I was like, it's a really good beat. And I was like, okay, I definitely hear it. But then I just found myself singing Willem's lyrics over the song. And it has Eileen, which is done to Jolene by Dolly. But it's about, I don't know the woman's last name, but the murderer, the one that was the subject of Monster.
Oh,
that's
Charlize
Theron played.
Yeah.
And which also features Trixie Mattel on guitar and in the video as well.
Oh, wow.
Not done up as Trixie, but as Brian. But those are all really great songs. My point for this is that there is a song on that album called Derek, where she roasts the fuck out of Derek Barry.
Is it in response to Derek Barry's roast? Or just in general?
In general. Derek. It starts out with, was it... Oh, Derek Barry, how were you supposed to know that no one died at Stonewall? Oh, Derek Barry, you suck on 4 different balls. Because you're in a throuple.
Wow.
I lost my shit at that. But it, when you go into the second verse, it talks about like, if Derek Barry gets on All Stars, my head will explode. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I now end this side tangent about Derek Barry. Back to All Stars 4.
So, a quick listing of the queens on All Stars 4. We have Monet Echange.
Oh, so excited. She looks so good in her promo.
Yes, she does. Uh-huh. It was just a good promo all around. I don't think anybody looked bad in the promo.
I mean, Jasmine Masters trying to look like RuPaul was interesting.
Well,
that was a choice, but... But Monet's, compared to her season 10 one,
yeah.
Oh, girl, she stepped her pussy up. She did a glow up for hers.
We have Latrice Royale, Trinity
Jesus
Taylor.
Jesus is a biscuit. Let him sop you up.
Trinity the Tuck Taylor.
I call shade. I feel like I'm obligated to do something for each of these girls now. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Farrah Mode and her highlighter.
Oh, nobody told me I used too much highlighter. I guess I'm not done.
A Valentina.
I can't stand her, so I'm not doing it.
I'd like to keep it on, please.
Which I liked Farrah Mode, but I honestly think the only reason she is on this season is so there is that tension between her and Valentina.
Yes, because the oft...
You don't love me.
The oft-rumored... point of contention about AS3 was that they wanted Valentina for that one and Aja, and that when Valentina and her people found out that Aja was cast, they backed her out of All Stars 3 because they did not want it to be a thing. Like, they did not want that to be the reason why. The whole, you know, you're perfect, you're beautiful, you look like Linda Evangelista. So now we get the you don't love me.
Then we have Monique Hart.
Yes. Facts are facts.
Yes.
Brown Cow stunning Jasmine Masters, and she has something to say.
Hello, Pizza Hut. Are you currently hiring? Okay, good. I'll be down to fill out an application shortly. How about you take the get a job challenge?
Naomi Smalls and all her legs.
I was like, did she even have like a catchphrase?
I don't think so.
She's just like, these are my legs. I have a lot of them.
I have a lot of legs.
And that was basically her song on the finale was legs. I have legs.
The pair of legs formerly known as Naomi Smalls.
Gia Gunn.
I just got here right off the boat like fresh tilapia. Absolutely.
Are you feeling your oats?
I'm feeling my oats. Let me feel my oats.
And Manila Luzon.
Oh, wow.
Anything I think of right now would just make me really racist if I said it. She was allowed to do it and still got bitched at on her season.
Got you in a box.
I can't do it.
Got you in a box, bitch.
I mean,
you can just do a crazy face to thinking about MacArthur Park.
Yeah.
That doesn't translate well for a podcast.
No, not at all.
Even though podcasting is a visual medium. Famously.
Obviously.
But yeah, that's the cast for All Stars 4.
Who are you excited for? Who do you think is going
to
win?
Who am I excited to see on this list? I'm excited to see Manila. Because I just like Manila.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Trinity. Because I was really surprised by Trinity's run in 9, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she really was more than just a pageant, the typical quote-unquote pageant queen, and she showed that she had a good deal of versatility.
She wanted to break the astigmatism?
Yes. And this is probably post-botched, I think, or...
Oh, I don't know. Was she on Botched?
She went on one of the Fixer Upper shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might be this season, because I think she's in the ads for this season.
Oh, interesting.
For one of them.
That depends on when they film that, because this was filmed like last summer.
Yeah.
Ish,
yeah.
Or end of the summer.
And then I like Latrice and Monet.
Who do you think is going to win? Or who would your ideal winner be? Let's put it that way.
I think probably Trinity, but Latrice is up there.
Okay. BJ, who are you excited for on my AS4?
Monet and Latrice.
Cool.
Who do you want to win? Who's your ideal winner, babe?
Monet.
Monet. Yeah, I'm super excited to see what Monet is going to bring to the show, because I feel like Monet is going to have an Aja-like run with this as far as her runways. Because that was where Monet's weakest point was her runway looks and then pussycat wigs.
But you know she's going to be bringing back some pussycat wigs. She is not going to give those up.
I don't think so.
That is her look. I mean, that is...
But the thing is, that's her look because that was her... That's her hustling look. That is her working in the city and having to do multiple shows and run from one place to the next on the subway or a cab or do whatever. Going through her season...
She's making that RuPaul money now.
Being ragged on by Mama Ru for her pussycat wigs, but now having that money and not having to do that same hustle. She's still hustling. Don't get me wrong. I don't want nobody sitting out there like, oh, well, she just finished up her run of her one-woman show in Europe and all this. I get that. But she's not doing the same type of hustle for a dollar that she was doing in New York City.
Yeah.
She's doing the drag race hustle where she in a new city every day and only has a couple of days off to breathe. But she's making that money. And I guarantee you that glow up that we saw in her promo will translate to her on the show as well, in hair and dress.
Right.
And I'm super excited about that. So I'm excited to see that. I would love to see her win. I don't think she will. I would love to see her win. And, I mean, the other girls are cool. I don't care for Valentina. She and Jasmine Masters. Like, they both nice people. Worked with them both. Enjoyed working with them. I don't love them as television characters.
No.
Because that's what they are. Is they've become characters on the show.
Yeah.
And they're not my favorites.
I kind of feel like Jasmine and Monique fill a similar role.
Yes.
And that they're the very, very outspoken ones.
Yeah.
Monique, I think, translates better to a TV show in general. She has, I think, the more memorable, memeable lines.
Yeah. Jasmine. But Jasmine is the queen of meme at this point, her YouTube videos and all that.
Yeah.
But I think that's more of a YouTube thing. It's less of a good television type of thing.
I think Jasmine was a little more polished on her season.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't making her outfits 10 minutes before getting on the runway.
Which is going to be interesting to see what Monique brings.
Now that she is... She's been on the show and has a little extra cash and is able to make her outfits beforehand.
She has 1.5 coins now to spend.
I like it. I like it. All right. My next topic that I want to chat on is going to be American Horror Story Apocalypse. We have finished the season and I'm actually still a little confused.
You're still confused?
Not really confused. Like it actually wrapped itself up in that last episode.
Yeah.
Because there were points where I was like, how the fuck does this roll back around?
Right?
By episode 9, I was still like, I'm not sure how we get back to the beginning of the season. Because we were taken back in time and never made it back to that point. And I was really confused.
Yeah.
That last episode had a lot in there. I'm not going to go too deep into spoilers, just in case you haven't. Or at least right this second. We might talk about it in a minute. But I am very happy with the season after last season.
Yes.
Because Cult, I watched the whole thing, but God help me, it took every ounce of willpower and every fiber of my being to get through it.
Every bit of your hate watching points.
Seriously, because I was like, we are living this nightmare right now.
Yeah, why do
like,
I want to watch
literally
this?
Literally living this nightmare right now. Why are you putting it on television for me to have to watch it?
Right.
Did Cult have anything supernatural associated with it?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It was more like the horror of right, I don't even want to say right wing, but extremists.
Right.
Once you find an ideology and you run with it, in today's world, especially with what had been going on with the election and all that.
Yeah.
This season, I think, 100% made up for it. I think this was one of the only seasons, or one of the only handful of seasons, that had a cohesive plot. No matter how crazy it got, it wrapped itself back up.
It was subdued.
It was. But my point is that a lot of times you get through 5 or 6 episodes and then it loses its way.
It goes insane. It always gets thrown on its head.
Like
and you're like,
show,
the fuck is
where
going on?
We got through like 7 and 8 episodes and they're like, wait a minute, we still have too many characters. Oh, we're just going to have this one come in and shoot the place up and kill them all.
Exactly.
And it's like, what? Or the aliens in Asylum. Like that point where it was just like, well, now we have aliens in the show. I think they did a really good job with this one. It may not be the epitome of like the greatest television, but I give them credit for putting together so much, having so many threads and actually keeping it woven together and coming to a conclusion that worked. And whether or not it was a very Deus Ex Machina ending, it worked and came together.
And well, my thing is that it was like the first season was pretty much a very simple, it was a very simple premise. Haunted house.
I still think that's the best season.
It had a simple...
People will fight me about Coven, but I still think that Murder House, because it didn't have anything it needed to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, it was its own premise, and it had a through line, it had a point, it made its point, and it did it. Coven, probably second place for me.
Coven was the most entertaining to me.
Yeah, I think Coven was the most entertaining. Murder House was more horror than Coven was.
Well, Murder House was just it was the most simplistic kind of horror thing, but the way they executed it was great in the fact that like you don't have like a spirit floating through the hallway. You don't have like you have people who are dead trapped in this house, and you can push one down the stairs. 5 minutes later, they're coming right back at you. But that was the thing about Apocalypse, is Apocalypse knew exactly what it was. We're telling you a story about the Apocalypse, and they used characters from the previous seasons, and the way they used them made me so much happier, because I was worried they were going to just base the season and just cobble something together from the remains of season 1 and 3. But what they ended up doing is actually just taking those characters and just you doing a natural progression.
Yeah, it was an extension of their seasons, not just let's put it together, let's mash it up.
Yeah, let's mash it up for the fans. No, they actually, like, because you had characters that had grown. Zoe was a lot less, oh my god, my vagina kills people, and was more like, I'm going to teach these chicks how to protect themselves. Like, I mean...
Her vagina killed people.
My vagina killed people.
I forget that.
And they brought back all these characters, and you didn't skip a beat with them. Those characters were back from the moment you left off with them.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. And I just also liked where you got to see Madison again.
Yeah.
Like,
and props to Sarah Paulson.
Right? The
47
hardest,
fucking characters this season.
The hardest working lesbian in the world, let me tell you. Because... Like, and she did an awesome job with every single one of those damn characters. Every single fucking one.
Now, did any of her characters interact with each other?
No.
No, they came super close to.
Okay. Because I was wondering if she was pulling like a Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, or if...
No. The closest it was in the third episode where it kind of like stops the beginning part of the story, and then we wrap back around to then like tell how we got to that point.
Oh yeah, Cordelia just missed her.
Yeah, they basically kill everybody, and then that's when the witches come in, and that was like, so it literally was just like one character died and she walks in as another one. Like, yeah. It kind of, you never really missed a beat without having Sarah Paulson around, but it worked really well.
Right. Yeah.
And then we got Jessica Lange back.
Oh yeah,
for a couple of episodes,
not even skipping a beat with her either.
Bitch, when Angela Bassett rolled the fuck out,
that
I
hair,
was like, yes, bitch, you better work.
Just like, you serve him well, sis. I was like, oh damn, oh shit, we're back. Okay, yeah,
fucking knife to the throat, bitch. She was a shock. When that bitch rolled out with them braids down past the ass, I was like, yes, queen.
He subdued, I've been calling them Murphyisms. He got into these weird habits after season 3 where I think he was kind of trying to go a little bit too crazy with things. Like, there was that thing with Hotel where they, when after Jessica Lange was gone, they kept trying to push, like, Lady Gaga as, like, the big female
She's the new Jessica
character.
Lange of this series.
But, like, that season didn't really have a Jessica Lange.
No.
And it was more about the detective, and I was like, see, now the promos got me confused what the story's about.
Yeah.
And that, and
nobody knew what the fuck Roanoke was about.
No, Roanoke was just nuts.
No one still knows what Roanoke was about.
I liked
that six question mark. That question mark's still there for me.
Yeah. So,
except
this
when
one...
Trixie Mattel showed up in the final episode.
But this one felt a lot more cohesive, and they knew exactly what they were doing, and they didn't go completely off the rails. So I was actually very pleasantly surprised with this season.
Yeah, and it caught me off guard because it took me a second when the finale, like the end part of the finale, almost the epilogue, if you will, it took me a second to realize, oh, these are the two kids from the beginning of the series that nobody knew what the fuck they were there for.
Uh-huh.
And then they were killed, and you were like, why were these people here?
Oh, but Dad knew what they were there for.
And then it came back around, and I was like, oh. And then first of all, I'm like, y'all are like 19 years old, and then a year later you're having a kid after bumping into each other at a, like, in a fucking rally in front of a coffee shop. I'm like, y'all move really fucking quick. Satan was working his magic to get y'all to bump uglies right quick before that happened.
It's always a plan B.
Just but not I'm using plan B.
So was there any sort of hint towards the next season?
No.
You know, I completely forgot to even look for that.
Balenciaga a little bit.
Well, and Balenciaga didn't even work for what it was.
Yeah. No, no.
I think everybody thought that was what it was, and it wasn't anything.
No, it was the mug with the top hat on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I would really like him to go into a completely different, like, universe with it.
Well, I mean, if every season is connected, now, I mean, the way this is kind of played out.
We don't need to use the rest of them.
Yeah.
The other ones, we're fine without going back to those.
You can.
We hinted at, we had some Hotel.
Uh-huh.
We had Murder House.
Mm-hmm.
We had Coven.
And there was mention of a Montgomery from Freak Show. Not Dandy, but a member of the Montgomery
family.
Well,
no, but that's from...
Oh, that's from the guy who built the murder houses of
yes.
Montgomery.
Yes, yes.
Right, you're
and
right.
Madison's relative.
Because mm-hmm.
Madison's a Montgomery also, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep.
But that's with the Black Dahlia and all that, which was in one of their later... That was Hotel.
Yeah.
Where they discussed that. That's where that all came back up. Because I'm like, I know that they went back to like the origins of the murder house.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your Hotel, you had your Coven, you had your Murder House, all tied in with Apocalypse. So that's 4 out of 8 seasons. We don't really need to go back to Asylum.
So you don't want a cult of Freak Show people living in an asylum in Roanoke?
No.
As a season?
No, I'm good.
We're good. It's almost like they were like, all right, these are our 4 best. Let's go ahead and just...
I think that's because they really were. And it made an amalgam of a good season. I would love to see that kind of put away.
Yes.
And then let's start up a new little thing. And then maybe down the line, if it still goes on longer, you can tie in some stuff back. But I would like to see a new, fresh crop of ideas come up for it. But we'll see what happens, because I think it's greenlit for another 2 seasons.
I would like something more like Eldritch Horror, like Cthulhu sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't see Ryan Murphy going down that path with it, like,
no.
In general, because he's very much like campy horror, but I don't know. Honestly, after Cult, I was not giving him any leeway, and they at least earned back some of my respect with this season. All right, so before we continue on talking about more pop culture-ness that is making us oh so happy right now, we want you to let us know how we're doing. You can find us on all of your favorite podcasting platforms and give us a star rating. You can leave us a review. Those help other listeners find us, and word of mouth. So if you're enjoying what we do here on Flame On, then let your friends know. Let your family know. It's the holiday season. Maybe if your family is getting on your nerves, you can go listen to some back episodes of Flame On or other shows on the Nerdy Show Network. And if you do enjoy us very much so and you want to help support the Nerdy Show Network and us, then go to patreon.com/nerdyshow. You can give as little as $1. You can give as much as you want every month. There are great bonuses for you to unlock. And if you want the money to come to us, you can even leave a little note and they'll earmark that money to help us keep this show going. If you want to follow us online or on the socials, as the kids nowadays aren't calling it, but I'm going to keep going with it.
The Soch Meads.
You can go to flameonshow.com. You can find out about us. And at the bottom of the page, you can find the chicklets to all of our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the like. So check us out, flameonshow.com and patreon.com/nerdyshow. All right. We got a couple more topics before we close out with our one-ups for this month. Eric, give me one more topic.
So Disney dropped a couple live-action trailers this week, which were not the first for these movies, but they were just additional trailers. Mary Poppins Returns, they dropped a new trailer, just longer, has more outfit changes.
Every time I see a trailer for Mary Poppins Returns, I'm more and more on board.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm at the point that I could enjoy it because I know that Lin-Manuel is not actually playing Bert.
Yeah.
He's like Bert was his mentor or something like that.
Yeah.
So I feel okay with that, that he is not directly Dick Van Dyke.
Well, because Dick Van Dyke's in the movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it looks good. I'm excited for it. And then the other one was Dumbo.
I'm not emotionally prepared for that. Like, when they finally showed what he looked like in the clown makeup.
Oh, that was...
I want to hug him. I want to cry and I want to hug him. And I'm just like, oh, God, no. Like, poor sweet baby.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting that... I mean, it makes sense that they replaced... I mean, the mouse is still there, but the mouse is not basically speaking for Dumbo anymore. It's the kids now. So that's a little different, but it's still going to be good. It's still going to break your heart when they take the mama away.
Right.
After she gets done singing Baby Mine.
I've never seen Dumbo, the actual animated film. I saw the like teaser trailer, or it might have actually been the first trailer, and I was like, I don't know if I can watch this.
If you watch the original Dumbo, you'll swear that Tim Burton got in a time machine and made an animated version of it. Because like I went back and when I heard he was doing it, I went back and watched it, and I was like, "Oh no!" Like, "Oh Jesus!" Like, yeah, it's there. There are some. It's one of those Disney movies that I'm like, I will watch when I feel like feeling feelings.
But you can also tell it was of its time,
very much.
Yeah.
Because the whole Jim Crow's.
Yep. Yep.
You mean they're not going to be in this new version of it?
Yep.
Nope. And when they sing that Never See an Elephant Cry, but it's all Jim Crow-y.
I don't know how to say. I hit the fast forward when that happens. I'm like, let's get back to the cute elephant.
And it also has the trippy pink elephants on parade. That makes you think you're on acid.
Oh my god!
Even though I've never tripped acid, so I don't really know what it's like.
That gave me fucking nightmares. Like,
but I mean, that's like Hufflepuff and Woozles type shit.
I saw that movie after the Hufflepuff and Woozles thing, and I was like, no.
But those were the couple things I saw that were interesting.
All right, BJ, you got one more topic before we close this out?
I got two little small quickie things. So we mentioned LGBT representation a lot today because just about every single show we talked about had a lot of representation. I got to talk about the best fucking one that surprised the shit out of me, and that is She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. Holy fucking God, that is the queerest television show I've watched in my life, but it is done so masterfully. I can't even get over it. Just the characterizations of everybody and the way everybody interacts with everyone. Like, having Adora as part of the Horde was the best story thing they could have done for the series, because her initial breakdown after she leaves the Horde is probably, like, one of the best written, like, kids cartoons things ever. But she can't sleep with without anybody in the same bed with her.
Doesn't that follow the original? Like, wasn't Adora part?
I thought she was like a slave. Like, I thought originally she was a slave, but I can check that.
But I feel like that's not too far removed from the original series.
No.
I feel like the way they're doing it now is certainly a different take on it, but I don't feel like that's completely out of the realm of what came before.
But the world building they've done, I want to be best friends with Bo because he is the most adorable character of all time. He just wants to be friends with everybody and straight up wants to have sex with a pirate. Like, just...
Who doesn't?
Right? I can't wait. I love his Fresh Prince of Bel-Air early 90s haircut. Like, everything about Bo is great. All the characters are entertaining. It's the whole thing with Catra and Adora is great because, like, Catra and Adora grew up together. They have effectively slept in the same bed for years. And when they're separate, it's very much like a jilted lover sort of situation.
Like a piece of them is missing from each other.
Exactly. Like they, neither one of them particularly wants to hurt the other one, but both of them are very upset that the other one's not there. So just the way, even if it's a platonic relationship, the way they explore relationships in the show are very positive, like, no matter the character. Mermista is probably my spirit animal because they're like, hey, can you help us get to this access panel? I guess I have to do something now. Fine. I will do this, but I'm going to complain about it the whole time. But it's great. I can't wait for the avalanche of cosplayers that are just about to descend on the conventions over the next couple of years, because it's going to be very colorful. And then a quick nod to something else that surprised the fuck out of me. I officially like Titans. I feel dirty saying it.
Since it started airing, I've heard more positive things than negative things. Which is completely opposite from when the trailer first came out.
So the person who did the trailers must be the person that edited Suicide Squad, because when you watch the show and get to the trailer parts that are actually in proper context, they make perfect sense and they're really important to the story. The characterizations just keep getting better and better. They've introduced Jason Todd in the most recent episode, and Jason Todd beating the tar out of police officers and then leaving saying, yeah, fuck the police, and breaks a cop's nose and keeps walking. Like, yeah, no, that's Red Hood right there in the making. So it's really surprisingly good. And if you happen to have the DC Universe streaming service, do yourself a favor and actually give it like one or two episodes.
The Robin is Dick Grayson, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how does that work? If Dick Grayson is Robin, but then Jason Todd is there.
Very angstily.
It doesn't really for the comics, but it works for the show.
Well, so like we're getting proto Nightwing. Like, he's literally like a hair's breadth away from being Nightwing.
Is he like detached from Batman?
Oh yeah.
But he's not. Well, I mean, I get the whole fuck Batman. Have you gotten to that part?
Yeah, that was like the first 5 minutes in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
It's with the characterization of Dick Grayson at this point in his life. It's very, he is addicted to the life now. He is completely addicted to being a vigilante.
Dick is addicted?
Dick is addicted. And he addicted to pussy because that man a slut.
We do not slut shame at this table, you whore.
Fine. He is addicted to pussy. He likes it. he likes it a lot.
I mean, choices, but whatever.
But you have, he's become a detective. He is good at his job. However, he keeps running into roadblocks where the system is failing. And what do you do when the system is failing? He breaks out his briefcase, which is all of his Robin shit, cracks it open, and beats some fucking heads in. But he's also starting to... He knows he's going to go too far if he keeps going the way he's going.
Does this take place in Bloodhaven?
No, it starts in Detroit. So far, we've gone to Detroit. Right now they're in Chicago, and then we went to like a suburb in like rural Illinois. So right now it's gone from Detroit to Illinois, and it's kind of just staying in Illinois. They have mentioned, I know they've mentioned Central City, and I think they've mentioned Bloodhaven. Somebody mentioned Bloodhaven, the Starfire.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, Dick Grayson kind of in this weird transitory stage. The Hawk and Dove episode was actually really good. And it gives you a good little litmus test of you have Hawk and Dove who are vigilantes, but they're start trying to get out of the life. And then you have Dick Grayson, who is thoroughly terrifying right now. They get cornered by 12 people with guns. Dick literally comes in and almost murders all of them. And both Hawk and Dove are like, oh, you did all that. That was a thing you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're like, you know, Dove's like, you weren't kidding. All right, you are going a little too far. And they dusted off some old villains, the Nuclear Family, which are from, like, Action Comics number 12 or something.
Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar to me
at all. They're old villains, just essentially like a normal Nuclear Family that are agents for a shady organization.
Were they ever in any of the animated universe?
I don't think so. I don't think they've used them in the animated universe. And they think they use, like, the Melting Man. They're dusting off a lot of, like, lower... I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Professor Pigs pops up at some point. Like, they're dusting off a lot of older villains.
Maybe or maybe not. I mean, Gotham used him.
That's true. Gotham did use him. So, but...
Speaking of, on a tangent to that, did you see that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got renewed for a 7th season?
Yep.
Before 6 comes out?
Yep.
And we all thought that shit was just going away at 6.
They thought it was going away at 5.
Apparently, we're getting another couple seasons.
Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to turn into Supernatural and never die?
I don't know, but it looks like they're going to go to summer. So it looks like they're going to shrink it down and make it more of a companion piece, which is what it should have been, and might actually work wonders for it. Yep. Now that they get to kind of reboot what the show is, I think it'll work. So, Titans.
Shocked. Right. Like, absolutely surprised, but I've been enjoying it. I can't wait for the Doom Patrol spinoff. Brendan Fraser is Robot Man. Didn't know he was still kicking around.
So, do Beast Boy's transformations look okay?
Now we're getting into the critiquing portion. Beast Boy is a very obvious part of their limited budget. They have introduced kind of a thing where he is still learning his powers. And as of right now, due to his mental state, the only thing he can transform into is a tiger.
Okay.
It's still green.
I was going to say halfway into a gorilla, so that way he's still humanoid with just extra fur.
And then also because he doesn't have his uniform that transforms with it yet.
Oh, he's just naked every time?
There's so far I've counted 4 times where he goes to transform either in training or a fight where he has to run away real quick. And then all of a sudden a green tiger shows up.
Yeah.
And that's the... But Starfire does make a comment where she's just like, where she turns around while he's practicing. She's just like, if this wasn't a drill, we'd be dead by now. So they're very aware of how awkward it is.
For all the other animals, it's just a picture, a hand-drawn picture of like a horse. And it's like, Beast Boy turned into a horse now.
So hopefully with things being more positive for it, they'll get a little bit of a bigger budget.
We'll see. But you recommend it, so if you have the DC Universe streaming service, go check it out. Right. We've reached our favorite part of this and every cast episode. It is our one-ups, the things that are giving us life. I will start, because mine might be the longest, depending on what you guys have. But I want to talk about Mariah Carey. Maybe I'm the only one in the vicinity that wants to talk about Mariah Carey, but we are going to. So Mariah has had a pretty fantastic week, I want to say. She dropped her album Caution. It will have been out for a week when this episode drops. And it is a really solid album. It may not be the best work she's ever put out, but considering the last 2 albums, which have been over the course of the last, maybe 10 years? E equals MC squared, which I liked. I liked E equals MC squared. Did not have the same resonance as Emancipation of Mimi. And me, I am Mariah, The Elusive Chanteuse, which I did not really like. It had some, it had a couple of good songs, but I think she was trying really hard to adapt to current trends, and it did not work for it. Equals MC Squared was really a continuation of Emancipation of Mimi. It just didn't have the same caliber of musical hits that Emancipation had. The Elusive Chanteuse album was rougher. It really was. And then she had a couple of songs that she dropped to try to kind of spur a little bit of a return. There was, it took me forever to remember it, but you had Triumphant, which I think had Slick Rick and somebody else on the track. But it was mostly them doing the heavy lifting, and she would chime in on the choruses. And I'm like, bitch, this is your song. Why are you like the least part of this thing? And then after the E series Mariah's World, where she publicly, you know, went through the breakup with her billionaire fiance to go back to a 24-year-old backup dancer with no money. If she wanted a man who had no money that was going to love her and feast, just put tons and tons of praise on her, I'm available. I can spend her money. And I probably know just as much about her as he does. Anywho, she put out the song called I Don't, where she famously or infamously wore the wedding dress she was supposed to marry the billionaire in the video. And it was okay. It wasn't a bad song. It just wasn't great. But since that came out, she publicly came out as being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And was getting treatment for that, and I think that did a world of wonder for her as a person and as an artist, because this album is solid. The For Fun single that came out before the lead single, GTFO, was cute. It was catchy. It's very kind of just, it's very Mariah-esque, but basically talking about somebody that, you know, screwed you over or cheated on you and was all about their friends and not you. And, you know, how about you get the fuck out? I was like, okay, not bad. I'm all right. And then she dropped With You, which came out October 4th, I want to say, which is the day that we went to Comic-Con. It's that morning when I woke up. I'm like jamming to it and at my parents' house getting ready to go to the city for Comic-Con. And that was the point where I was like, I'm ready for this album. And then they put out A No-No and The Distance. Both really good songs. And No-No samples B.I.G.'s part from Crush on You. And The Distance has Ty Dolla $ign on it. Fantastic. Album is great. Saw her on Jimmy Fallon the other night. The interview. She's coming across very human again. She's coming across more down to earth. You saw that, right, Eric?
Yeah, it was a good interview. I think Jimmy was funny because he really just wanted to talk about the Christmas albums and the fact that Glitter is now number one back on iTunes. Justice, hashtag justice for Glitter. But it was kind of an interesting point that he wanted Caution to be the one to knock Glitter off of the number one, so that way she'd have number one and two albums.
Which I really wonder how long it, I don't know if it's still at number one on iTunes, because I think iTunes updates more than just weekly like Billboard does.
Right.
But yeah, that was the other part of the good week she's having. Her fans, the big issue is that she doesn't do songs from Glitter, because one of the things that I think is amazing and kind of interesting is her talking about that point of her life, because that was the big breakdown.
Right.
That's when she infamously went on TRL and stripped down into like booty shorts and a tank top and pushed an ice cream cart out onto the stage and was kind of incoherent and all this, which she was on TRL the morning of, they taped it on Thursday and aired it Friday morning.
Oh no, I remember.
And she
that.
Talked about like this. She was like, oh, I thought Carson was going to be here. She's like, the last time I was here, his earpiece was acting up, so he couldn't hear what I was saying. I just wanted to give my fans ice cream. Like the fact that she can like,
everybody needs a little therapy.
The fact that she can like look back at that point and actually be able to kind of address it in that kind of manner. And then on Fallon, she basically said, she's like, that album almost killed me. Like, that almost ruined my life.
Yeah.
And for it to come back.
Because of all the blowback from the movie and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The album came out on September 11, 2001, which obviously was not the best time for anything. The movie was supposed to come out that Friday. It got pushed back a couple of weeks. That movie made, I think, $5 million.
I thought you were just going to say $5.
I was there when it opened. But the fact that her fans had been pushing for her to do songs from Glitter started this hashtag Justice for Glitter campaign, which in turn had them all buy the $4.99 digital copy on iTunes, which it crept up. And with the only album that, when it made this jump, this 8,000% jump, almost 9,000% jump, was A Star Is Born. So it was like A Star Is Born, Glitter. And then the next day, Glitter took it out and was number one on the iTunes chart, like overall album iTunes, overall chart for iTunes. So putting out a really solid album, Glitter after 17 years making number one on the iTunes charts, and my own little personal thing, I got tickets to go see her in Chicago. So March, I will be in Chicago watching Mimi perform, and after watching the performance on Fallon, where she sang, that was all live.
Yeah.
Because you could tell it was live. It sounded fantastic. I love that performance. I'm super excited to see her in Chicago.
Good. Yeah, she just seems so much better.
Yeah. Than
I've seen her in the past couple of years. Because also, I don't think you watched The Voice.
No, I need to go back and watch that.
But for the knockout round, she was the key advisor, so she was helping coach all of the contestants off all four teams. And it was just great to see every single contestant almost break down when they first walked into the room and saw Mariah Carey there.
Girl.
And then one of the girls was singing a Mariah Carey song, so I had to sing it in front of Mariah Carey.
Ooh.
which was funny. She did fine, but it was just really interesting to see the kind of producer mentality of Mariah Carey, because I know she's a songwriter, but I haven't seen that side of her at all.
Most people don't. You don't really get to see that. She'll post pictures of her being in the studio, like behind the board.
Right.
But you don't ever really think about her that way. And honestly, I'm sure most people don't even, especially now, don't think of her as a songwriter. But from the start of her career, before she got her deal, she has been writing her songs.
Yeah. But it was really good to see the way she was interacting with the contestants and coaching them and being like, well, you should sing it this way. Or what if the band played this way? It would help everything. And it was just, I think it was really good for her, really good for the show, just really good for everybody all the way around.
I'm really happy for her. Like, and it's weird to say that about a celebrity that I don't know, but being a fan of hers for 28 years now and seeing her rocket to superstardom and then see her falter and have a really rough time kind of getting back to that point when she like publicly came out and talked about being bipolar and getting treatment for it and all this, like, it was amazing to see, because you can now see where the struggle was and it makes so much more sense. And then to see how she is now and like how her public persona is now, where she's kind of gotten to a point where she's like, she's more human and less like lofty, crazy diva. And at the same time, sassy as fuck, where she's still like, whatever, like shit happens. And it's great to see that. I don't think she'll propel herself back to like being that amazing like icon of like the current trend, but I can see her like, this looks like it'll start that adult, like that real adult contemporary
right
part of her life, where
yeah,
she'll put out a couple more albums, it'll be like that adult contemporary R&B with like something that the kids will enjoy as well. Like I see that being
something for the children.
Something that she'll be able to continue on doing for, you know, another couple of years and be able to end her career on a positive note versus all that craziness that could have potentially ended it for her. So that's my Mariah talk. Thanks for coming. BJ, what is your one-up?
Mine's just the trailer. Dropped, I think, this past Thursday. Detective Pikachu. I was not one. I was not emotionally prepared for a live action Pokemon movie. So let's just start there. It's live action. I knew they were making the movie. I just figured it was an animated movie because it's about Pikachu solving crimes for Pokemon. Nope. It stars Justice Smith from The Get Down as a detective's son who goes missing. And for some whatever reason, he can hear Pikachu talk, who is voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
The father goes missing.
The father goes missing. Yeah. The father goes missing.
In the trailer, it's like, you always wanted to be a trainer. And he's like, I don't want that anymore. And then he can hear Pikachu.
And then we see a Pikachu almost get eaten by a Charizard. So I'm like, oh, okay. This is where we're going with this. I actually, most of, the only one that looks disturbing is Mr. Mime. Mr. Mime looks terrifying.
Yes. can we talk about how disturbing Jigglypuff looks?
No, Jigglypuff looks good.
Because, thank God, Jigglypuff has hair. Because if Jigglypuff was just flesh, that would just be
with a curly flesh lump.
That would just be a singing testicle on top of that table.
But honestly, most they showed like some Greninja running around. Like it actually looks good, and I'm surprised by that.
I want to see live action Eevee.
Oh God!
I want live action Eevee.
They've got to put live action Eevee in it.
There better be.
Because of the game that just came out.
I will boycott the movie. One ticket will not be sold.
I want to see the full stable of evolutions.
Oh wow. Yeah, so like it was. I didn't even like. I knew that it was in my periphery that they were doing a Detective Pikachu movie. I just didn't realize that it was going to be live action and that Ryan Reynolds was even attached to it in any way, shape, or form. And I like Justice Smith as an actor, so it'll be. I'm so far. I'm pretty much down. I'm sure they'll release another trailer soon, but it actually looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was very surprising how well done it looked, and I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh. I need to go see this.
Yeah.
People are saying they can't separate Ryan Reynolds' voice from Deadpool.
Peek-a-pool?
That's what makes it even better.
I know. Like, it literally, like, I loved when, in the trailer, when he's like, can't you hear him? And then she's like, oh, cute little Pika-Pika. And I was like, oh, that's the Pikachu voice I know. And then we went to Ryan Reynolds and I'm like, damn it, Deadpool.
Because when they first announced that they were going to be making a Detective Pikachu movie, which I didn't know anything about the game that it's kind of based on, air quotes, but in the game, Detective Pikachu has a very gruff voice, so fans were
a little bit upset it wasn't Danny DeVito.
Exactly. And there is actually somebody cut a fan trailer using Danny DeVito as the voice.
Oh, is that why that exists?
Yeah.
Got it.
Pulling lines from Always Sunny in
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll have to see that, but wow. Yeah, I'm down. It looks actually surprisingly good.
All right, Detective Pikachu. Eric, what is your one up?
My one up. I had one which was going to be just me getting tickets to see Hamilton, which, yay. But through the course of Danny DeVito, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, my one-up is going to be the season finale of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
As soon as you mentioned, I was thinking about it.
Honestly, I have seen maybe one full episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia in my life. Not because I thought it was any sort of bad show, just because it's not something I've ever watched. And honestly, I still haven't seen this full season finale. All I've seen is the actual dance that Mac does.
If you don't know what's going on, is this the coming out dance?
Yes, this is him coming out to his father.
Yes.
In prison. And it's not done with any sort of tongue-in-cheek or humor to it, which is interesting given the show that it's on, but it's just a very real vulnerable moment for Mac in him dealing with his own sexuality and coming to terms with it versus his religious upbringing and how the dance represents the whole push and pull he has with trying to reconcile those two parts of his life and trying to explain that to his father. And also, Danny DeVito's character, who really doesn't understand why Mac's struggling with it, because his character would just be fine with whatever and just doesn't understand why he can't just come to terms with it. And so, if anything, it explains to Frank, who's Danny DeVito's character, what is going on with him emotionally. And at the end, Frank is the one who's like, I get it now. And it was just to see them put so much effort and just beauty and just hard work. Because I read an article about all of the training he had to do for that. Because I remember seeing a Twitter post months ago where it was him all cut and ripped. And basically him saying, oh yeah, it only takes cutting out all carbs, working out 3 times a day, having a trainer, doing this, completely easy. Why doesn't everybody do it? Just kind of tongue-in-cheeking it about getting ripped, because the previous season he had been Fat Mac, I guess. So yes, he had actually purposely put on like he had, 30 pounds.
That's been for a while, because that started, oh God, I mean, this show's been on for like 4,000 years at this point. I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago he had put on a bunch of weight, and like that had kind of been the whole thing. And I mean, he's hot either which way.
Yeah, he's
I would let him spit in my mouth during flu season. Come through, call that.
Yes. Yes. But just hearing the story about how they planned the dance and how much thought and work they put into it, I just thought it was a beautiful moment.
That's awesome.
All around. And so,
nice. Come on, LGBT representation, even if he is not an LGBT member.
Right?
Come on, allies, making good television moments for the community. All right. Well, that does wrap up this month's episode of our... Basically, this is our cast now, all right? We've thrown everybody else off the show. This is what you get.
You may get Oral for a recap.
Yeah. He's been working so much. He does want to be on the episodes with us, but he has been working at the store. He's been doing karaoke. He is studying, getting ready to take his real estate exam and move forward with that portion of his life. And I give him total credit for hustling and making this shit work. So he'll be back eventually. We'll do some recaps and we'll get all that. But Brian is traveling again, so they'll all be back around. But you know, apparently our travel schedules have been very limited as of late, so
we
you
just
get
love
us.
The listeners more,
right? Oh, yeah, too. Clearly it has nothing to do with the fact that I have no life.
We appreciate you more than they do. But thank you guys for listening.
Thank you for giving me meaning.
Thank you, BJ and Eric, for joining me. And we will be back in 2 weeks with another microsode. BJ's got some topics that we're going to be delving into.
I got stuff.
I'm scared. You should be too. But I think this will be fun. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Make sure you check us out at flameonshow.com. Follow us on the social medias. Check out nerdyshow.com, patreon.com/nerdyshow to help support us and the Nerdy Show Network. And give us a rating or leave a review or tell some friends and spread the flame on love around to those that you want to this holiday season. And with that being said, I think the fuck I'm going home. Bye.
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 Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
Hi, I'm Lydia Bright from The Brights, a show that captures the highs and lows of family life. We're delighted to be part of Bose Recommends. There is no show like this. We've let a team of producers into our home to capture everything. The moments of bliss, the moments of chaos, the fallouts, and the kiss and makeups. Come meet the whole family by listening on Acast, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Enjoy your new favorite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.